from Las Vegas, where he performs his very own headline show on the Strip. Welcome to my show, Jeff Civilico.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. I was just thinking about why people say tuning in to the show when you're listening to this on the internet or on your phone. I think that's funny that so many things from really long ago, like when you would have to tune your radio with like a hand dial, they would go beep, 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 and then you'd have to like fine tune in to listen to whatever FM number that you were listening to. But now we still say tune into my podcast or tune into my YouTube channel or whatever people are talking about. And that doesn't make sense because you don't tune in your wireless router. You're not like twisting the knob to get onto the right frequency, bandwidth, or whatever fancy words the wireless routers use. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for tuning into my podcast, whatever dials you twisted to do that. So I'm pretty excited to finally have Jeff on the show. We've been bouncing back and forth for at least a few months trying to get his and my schedule to align for him to hop on and chat about what he's up to, and he has some really cool things to share. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Jeff, for joining me on the show. Please leave a rating and a review on iTunes if you're listening over there. That helps us really out a lot, and that helps us continue to get really awesome guests that are coming into the show. And as always, check out BetweenDreamsClothing.com. That's my clothing company that helps sponsor these episodes and help us get money so that I can buy microphones and things so that it sounds like it isn't really terrible. Okay, so thank you all for listening. So let's get right into it. You have a whole bunch of stuff that you have going on, from your charity to being obviously a performer. You have your own show in Las Vegas, and then as well you do other shows on the road. You've been a TV show host, and now I know you want to talk a little bit about your upcoming course, the Showbiz Academy, and we'll get into all of that. But first, is your life right now everything you pictured and dreamed that it would be as you started becoming an entertainer?
Yeah, I had no idea where all this was really going, so it's exciting. Yeah, I love just kind of taking on new projects, kind of new ventures. I love having the platform of a Vegas show that allows you to kind of really have a home base, you know? So I produce the show myself, which means that I can kind of call the shots on when and how I want to take off. So, you know, if you say, hey, Jeff, I got a great opportunity for you, you know, to do this event in Asia for a week, and if it sounds cool enough and, you know, either if it pays enough or personally it's fulfilling or traveling, something I want to do, I can say, cool. And I can take off, you know, in Vegas, you know, make the proper arrangements in Vegas, either tag a fill-in here in Vegas or go dark and go do that opportunity. So that's been great. You know, I've been here 3 years. I just celebrated my three-year anniversary with Caesars Entertainment on the same property. The property changed names a couple times, but I've always been in the same theater as the Imperial Palace, and then it became the Quad, and then it became the Link. So, but I've been in that same room for 3 years, and just great to have the structure of a home-based show from which I can jump off of, you know?
Yeah, so how much has that changed your, as far as, I like that way if you put it, where it's a good outlet and a place to jump off from. How has that changed, like, being able to say or have your own show in Vegas? How has that created other opportunities for you to go out and do other things on the road and bigger other shows as well?
Oh, yeah, that's huge because, you know, we know as entertainers that might not mean anything in terms of, you know, is this person better than this person? But the perception absolutely helps. You know, Vegas is, you know, I mean, the entertainment capital of the world. It's such an iconic brand, literally all globally, you know. I mean, people in Australia, you know if you have a show in Las Vegas, you know, they go, whoa, this guy must be pretty good. So that's helped so much in getting corporate bookings and getting, you know, TV appearances and really just building the whole brand. It gives you an identity as an entertainer.
And you like I said before, you have a ton of different projects besides just being an entertainer on stage. You have so many different things that you're up to. Can you share what a typical, and I think that's a funny word to saying, calling what we do a typical day, but what does an average day look like for you?
Sure. I mean, you know, what I always say is, especially since I produce the show, 95% of what I do and what I focus on, it has nothing to do with what you see on stage. You know, it's marketing meetings, it's, you know, maybe meeting with another show and talking about cross promotions, maybe it's meeting with someone at Caesars from marketing or branding and working on, you know, some kind of thing we're working on, and maybe it's working with the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority about some event, or, you know, a charity appearance that I'm doing. It's, you know, it's all kind of promoting. It's all marketing and promoting and getting your brand out there so that when you do show up at 4 o'clock, you know, there's people there. So, you know, I would say my day is mostly business. It's wheeling and dealing. It's, you know, it's emails, it's calls, it's meetings. It's with, maybe with a timeshare guy, or, you know, with the meeting with a ticket broker about sales, you know, this quarter, and what can we do to boost sales, or, you know, getting a Groupon going, or Travelzoo, or Living Social, or, you know, creating, you know, Google ads and tracking, you know, the ROI on your, you know, your Google ads, and, you know, maybe if you want to increase ad presence on Facebook or Yelp or wherever, you know, it's just business. It's just running a business. Just the product happens to be a comedy show in Vegas.
Yeah, always a hustle of 90% of that work, and then what you get credit for is getting up on stage for such a small part of your day, but that's what people see as the only time that they experience you as an audience, is that it's such a small part of what you actually do.
And that's funny because, you know, a lot of people say, like, oh, you only work, you know, 70 minutes a day, and, you know, that's like the furthest thing from the truth, you know? I mean, the 70 minutes of the show usually is the most fun, easiest part of the day. So
you say usually some time when being on stage was not the most fun part of your day.
You know,
maybe something went wrong, or do you have any good stories of nightmare stage times?
I mean, you know, some days it's work, you know. I mean, almost all the time it's fun and it's enjoyable, but, you know, you have those shows where, like, man, all right, like, this is a tough show. I mean, there's a lot of construction going on right now at my venue. So last week, the fire alarm went off 3 times in the show. And, like, the first time, it was kind of funny. Second, third time, it was just annoying. You know, like, it was so loud that you couldn't really do anything. And it went on for, like, 3 or 4 minutes. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, you try to handle it the best you can. But, like, you know, you come off stage, you're like, oh, God, like, that was just completely out of your control. You know, and some days, you know, the audiences are really, really small. And they're great. They're awesome. And that's fantastic. And you have this really special, you know, intimate show with maybe 30 or 40 people that wouldn't have happened. And sometimes you have, you know, 500 plus in the theater, and there is just a dead audience, you know. So I've learned never to judge an audience by their size, for sure, because, you know, it really runs the gamut. But, you know, yeah, I mean, hey, maybe I have my own things going on. Maybe if I'm sick, you know, I mean, if I'm really sick, it can be work. You know, there's nothing worse than, like, having a fever or, like, a, you know, runny nose, and, you know, you're trying to keep it together. Or you know, sometimes whether you're traveling, it's stressful. You know, I do a lot of corporate shows on the road, so you know, I'm oftentimes running to the airport. It's like, we got to do the show, do the meet and greet, and then get right back in there, pack it all up, rush to the airport. You know, that's those kind of things. Those external factors kind of make it sometimes feel tough.
Whereas we won't dwell too much on the painful experiences. As someone who's traveled all over the world, where's your favorite place that you've ever visited?
Ooh, I loved Australia and New Zealand. Both. I spent a year in Australia. Actually, did a college exchange program, and so I lived in Sydney for almost a year. And that was great. I got to street perform at the Sydney Opera House and at the Harbour there, which was so much fun. Being a minority, street performing was great because, you know, I'm used to street performing in America, you know, from back in the day. And it was fun to go somewhere new where they're like, oh, look, a Yankee. You know, they're all, you know, it was like a big deal that I was from America. So that Australia was fantastic. And I got to visit New Zealand for about three weeks. which was great. Beautiful place. So much fun. South Island of New Zealand is probably my favorite. Queenstown was awesome.
Wanted to jump back and mention the charity that you run and that you outreach to. I'll let you talk about that. Share a little bit of info about what you do with that and how that kind of affects what you do.
Sure. That's you know, it's taken on a life of its own, which is fantastic. Again, I kind of created these things, and they've organically developed and grown and kind of attracted the right people to help it scale, which I'm so grateful for. I created this nonprofit called Win-Win Entertainment, and we match up performers with charity events. So it's a pretty basic concept. We just kind of serve as the hub for performers to get connected with the community. And so we have relationships with hospitals, with senior care facilities, with vets and USO programming, with special needs programming. And so no matter kind of what you're passionate about and how you want to give back, we can find a way to help make that happen. So we provide shows at, you know, various hospitals. So, you know, whether you're a stilt walker who wants to go room to room, or a costume character, or, you know, a headline entertainer like Matt King, or myself, you know, a bunch of the entertainers here have come in and done shows for, you know, a handful of kids in a children's hospital. So we do a lot of events. We have 4 or 5 events a week at various, you know, organizations around town. So that's going to turn into about 250 events this year, which is pretty awesome. So in 2013, we did about a dozen events. 2014, we did about 70 events. And now in 2015, in quarter one, we had already done 70 events. So I mean, we're like well on track to do 250 plus shows. So it's exciting. We've done shows out at the Air Force bases for the USO. We work with a special needs baseball league called Miracle League that kind of combines all the special needs organizations in town, Opportunity Village, Special Olympics, etc. And we have the performers come and play baseball with the athletes, so they serve as buddies. So each athlete gets a buddy to kind of help them bat, help them run the bases, help them catch, and it's just great. It's a great team building exercise for the casts. We'll have a full cast from, you know, one of the shows come and play with the athletes, and yeah, everybody loves it. So I love it. I probably work as hard on Win-Win Entertainment as I do, you know, building my own stuff, just because it's so fulfilling.
Yeah, what do you think between all those the things that you do with the charity and then your shows, of course, and other things? What do you think your top one or two accomplishments have been?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I would say those two because they kind of run in parallel. Kind of, you know, getting my own show in Las Vegas and creating this entertainment charity in Las Vegas. The two of them are extremely intertwined. So it would be hard for me to say one without the other, because having the platform of the show has enabled me to get the contacts for creating the charity. You know what I mean? So the better that my show and brand does as a performer, the better, you know, quote-unquote, better the charity does, only in the sense that it gives us more access and it gives more awareness, and we get more people involved, and the whole thing just kind of snowballs. So I feel very fortunate to have established my show here and Win-Win Entertainment at pretty much the same time, and I've watched them grow in parallel tracks, you know, along the way. It's been fun for me to watch.
What's the coolest moment or most memorable moment that you've experienced while either on stage or interacting with someone that you've done shows for with the charity? Is there a standout, something that happened in one of
them? Oh, sure. I mean, there's dozens of moments every day that you know, remind me how awesome it is to be able to do this. The first two that I can just think of, I remember performing, and you know, I used a child on stage, and I could tell something was a little off, but he was having a great time, but he was kind of overstimulated, and, you know, he was going a little crazy, but the audience was loving him, and he was loving it, but I knew it wasn't, you know, your typical, you know, just picking a random child out of the audience, and you know, afterwards his mom came up and she had tears in her eyes and she was saying, you know, that he's severely autistic and, you know, gets, you know, kind of gets made fun of at school. And, you know, this was like such an awesome experience for him. And he'll be talking about this for months. And like, you made our family vacation and, you know, thank you so much. And, you know, I mean, I had no idea. And so, you know, someone says something like that to you, you know what I mean? And your mom has tears in her eyes, you know, and you're able to create an experience like that for this kid. And he was like, this is the best day of my life. You know what I mean? Like, he was freaking out. You know, like, that's an awesome moment. I mean, I had, and, you know, to kind of bookend it, that was obviously a child, but I had an elderly lady come up to me after a show and saying, you know, with a similar kind of, similar effect that I had had, but in a very different way. I guess she told me that her husband passed away a few weeks ago and she wasn't going to come on this trip. They were going to take this as an anniversary trip. And she just said that she hadn't smiled since he passed away until my show. And so she just said, like, thank you for like, wow. You know, yeah, like, thank you for making me smile again. You know, somebody like that says something and you're like, well, I'm just, you know, on stage screwing around, being an idiot, you know, trying to get some laughs, being silly, and you don't realize it's like how powerful of an effect you can have on people. So those are two pretty powerful moments.
Yeah. I know now most people that experience Las Vegas are obviously there on vacation and are there for a weekend or a couple days and then they leave. What is your experience with being actually living in Las Vegas and being you know, there for more than a couple days?
I love it. I feel like a lot of locals say like, Vegas isn't what tourists think, you know, and I feel like my life is actually probably closer to what tourists think a life in Vegas actually is, only because I live on the Strip. Most people live in the suburbs, kind of make their kind of one trip to the Strip for maybe their show or their work, and then they go home. And they don't really go to the Strip, you know, nights and weekends unless they have family visiting or friends. It's like, oh, let's go to the Strip to see a show. I live in that world, so I live in the tourist world, so I walk to work. So, I mean, I'm walking the Strip every day. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, it's I am quite stimulated all the time by, you know, all the craziness that's going on. So I love it. I mean, I've gotten access to more cool free stuff here just from kind of being around and meeting people and friends. An extra ticket to this, or there's an opening of that. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I was at UFC last week at MGM. I never would buy a ticket to UFC, but, you know, buddy had an extra ticket. I was like, oh, all right, that's cool. I saw Mariah Carey's, you know, opening, you know, the when she came to premiere at Caesar's Palace, you know, last week. And, you know, you go on and on. I mean, I saw Weird Al Yankovic, like, which was awesome. Yeah, I saw Neil Diamond. I was in the suite at Neil Diamond because a guy I worked with had a box and he invited a whole bunch of people. And, you know, there's so many fun events here all the time. And you know, especially when you live and work in entertainment, a lot of your friends are, you know, bookers or producers or, you know, performers, and they have access to tickets and backstage passes and cool, you know, kind of cool things to be a part of that I you know, that make it a really fun town to live in. There's always something going on. I'm never bored ever. I mean, I have to, like, actively force myself to not go out every night. Not that I'm getting crazy and everything, but, like, right. You know, last night I went to the Golden Nugget to see a friend sing, you know, and I met a buddy to drinks. It's like, you know, either if I'm not doing something myself, I'm going to a show to support a friend or, you know, going to some kind of event in my industry. Yeah, there's always something going on, and there's a reason to, you know, go out, hit the town, you know, grab a couple drinks. So it's fun. Love it.
So your top three recommendations for shows or experiences for someone coming into Vegas to see. Of course, your show would be number one. What would number two, three, and four be?
We'll take out my show. Yeah. Oh, man. People ask me that all the time. I mean, it just depends what you're into. You know, I mean, I'll throw out some ideas. I love The Rev, the show The Rev. If you want to see a Cirque-style show, you know, technically The Rev isn't Cirque. But if you're going to see, you know, a Cirque-style show, that's probably my favorite. As far as experiences go, I mean, you know, I've done the Grand Canyon helicopter tours. They're pretty awesome. That's a great thing to do. I love the show Human Nature. It's a great feel good show. I think that's one of the best shows in town. I love seeing comedy, live comedy. I go to Brad Garrett's Comedy Club a fair amount at MGM, the Improv at Harris. There's so many great comedians that pass through town. I do that a fair amount with my friends here. How's that?
It's good.
Absinthe is a great show. I mean, that's it's funny. That's the one show where I actually agree with their marketing material. You know, like they say, if you see only one show in Vegas, like it should be Absinthe, and I'm like, yeah, actually they're right. You know, I mean, like people are like, and, you know, you'll see billboards that say like best hypnotist, and it's like, you know, where or when, like who said you were the best? Like, what's your source?
Yeah,
you know, or whatever right. It is, like best comedy show. It's like, but Absinthe, you know, their ad says, you know, see one show in Vegas, it should be Absinthe, and I agree with that. Actually, it's a great show. It's funny as anything, and it's you know, the skill is there, and it's great.
I always wanted to create I don't know what it would be, a video or something, or photo series or something of like all the signs that say voted best pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Or so, you know, it's like in that same thing, like. Of what yeah. Where did, who according to who, like the people sure. That work here, it's so or like New York City's best, like when you walk around New York City, like voted New York's best pizza,
yeah.
And it's on every other pizza storefront, and you're how many consensuses are there?
You see like these billboards with quotes, and it's like who said that? Like there's no source. Like there's just a quote that says like you know, the best whatever to do while you're here. It's like, by who? Like, that guy's mom? Like, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I try not to do the, manipulative marketing like that.
Yeah, right. So what's next for you in the coming future that we can look out for you? Besides, you know, the show is playing... Most days in Vegas. What else
yeah.
Can I look for you?
I'm excited about this Showbiz Academy that I'm producing. Mm-hmm. I think this is fun. I think it could lead to a bunch of different things. I'm doing this first one as kind of a test, you know, kind of an experiment with the community and to see if people enjoy it and, you know, what the feedback is from the students. But, again, just like I started Win-Win because, like, I didn't really set out to start this big thing. I just kind of started doing it and it grew. So, I mean, I started connecting performers with some charities and all the charities started calling me saying, hey, I heard you got so-and-so. Can you help me find an entertainer for this event? Or can you help me, you know, you were great. Thanks so much for coming to the hospital. You know, can you help send somebody for next month? It's Hospital Appreciation Month or something, you know, like, and I said, yeah, sure. So I would always just find them entertainers. And then all of a sudden I realized I had a pool of entertainers and a pool of charities that were working together. And I should probably make this a little more official. Showbiz Academy is kind of the same thing. I mean, I think there's so many great performers here and there's a lot of great performing arts, magnet schools here, but there's no real connection between, what you learn in school and the practicalities of having a career in Las Vegas. And so I thought if I could bring in some of my friends to teach these students, then that would be a very good thing. I could, you know, show them how a career in acting might lead to a show in Blue Man Group, you know, a spot in Blue Man Group. I can, if you're a singer, you know, you can see how it could lead to a career in showbiz. It was Showstoppers at the Wynn. You know, or in Frankie Valli and Jersey Boys, or, you know, how dancing could lead to Cirque du Soleil. Like, how do you get from being a dancer to being in, you know, Mystère, you know? So I thought it was really valuable info. So I'm doing the first one, and I'm going to see where it goes. If people like it and people dig it and it resonates, then I'm going to do them on a more regular basis.
Yeah. So in case people that are listening don't quite know what that is, it's and you can correct me here or continue on, it's... a program for young people. I think it's mostly targeted towards high school students, right?
Yeah, it is. That's the intended age is kind of 14 to 18, but we already have a few signed up under 14 and a few signed up over 18. The point is not, you know, to draw a hard line in the sand on the age. It's more just, you know, if you're a qualified you know, passionate person right. about performing arts, you should be there.
Yeah, and that's and that's something as I started, I did a lot of when I was first getting started with performing, I did a lot of reaching out to other entertainers that I was, you know, impressed by, and I received very mixed responses from from entertainers, and you know, I wasn't out trying to steal anything from them or anything like that. I just genuinely wanted advice, like, "Hey, I'm a kid coming out, and I'm really into what you're doing. Like, can I get something? Like, you don't need to give me your whole list of places that you work or whatever, but like just a little bit of guidance, because it's like you're just so lost because there literally is no resources."
Right.
To know anything except learning it yourself. So assembling a team of people that have already been through it and are willing to share their, you know, how they accomplish these things is like just absolutely incredible to be able to offer that. And then for those people to receive that is great. So I hope that people really take advantage of that and do that. And will that be something that might... Like you said, you don't know where it's going to go, but hopefully that'll be something that is even more accessible to more and more people as time goes by. So that's
absolutely
sweet. So cool. Let's. So where can people that are listening that want to look more up about all the different things that you talked about? So touch on all the places people can find
sure.
you online.
Yeah, I mean,
different things.
You can link to everything through jeffsavilico.com. You know, it's, that there's a page in the nav bar there that takes you to Showbiz Academy, and there's info there about my nonprofit as well. The nonprofit site directly is winwinentertainment.org. So if you want to check that out and maybe even sign up as a performer, we'd love to have you. We're always expanding our database. And the crazy thing is, no matter what you do, we can absolutely use your services, whether, I mean, everything from, you know, singer to musician, face painter, technician, event planner, you know, producer, anything, anybody in the entertainment space, we need you. We need your help.
Cool. Yeah, I have you in mind. I haven't been in Vegas recently, but I always have you in mind when I'm going to. Next time I'm out, I was planning on doing that and getting involved in some way.
Cool.
So I think
that'd
that's
be great.
Definitely a cool thing. I've done some of the same things in hospitals and things, and it's like, you know, you've never felt that same thing of walking into a room of 8 people and
right.
seeing how happy you can make them when they, you know, with,
yeah.
as you said, we kind of sometimes get in this thing where we're thinking that we're just doing silly tricks up there, and it can literally change somebody's life. Not
Absolutely.
Just for that hour, but forever. So that's awesome. So cool. We'll wrap this up here. I think that we touched on pretty much everything. Is there anything else you want? Oh, I usually like to leave and with people, if people want to go out and create something awesome with their life, whether they are an entertainer or a singer or just going out into get a, you know, more traditional career, what advice do you have for young people or old people as they go on in their life?
I would say, you know, it sounds cliche, you know, to say find something, you know, you love, you know. I do agree with all that, you know, that, you know, you never work a day in your life if you're doing something you love. I do agree with that, but I think more specifically, I think people kind of sometimes get depressed or even off-put when they say, well, you know, you have juggling, you know, I'm not really passionate about anything like that. I would say that the key is to kind of work on becoming a more passionate person. And you'll find the right avenues, you know, to direct your passion towards. I'm not really passionate about juggling. I'm passionate about connecting with people, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I you can connect with people in a variety of different ways, you know. I mean, almost anything you do is on some level, you know, you're going to be connecting with people. So that's what I would say is to focus on, you know, finding, you know, kind of what's your kernel, I guess is another way, but like what do you kind of stand for at your very core, and you know, find channels and avenues that you can release that that excitement, that energy, that passion for you know, what the bigger sense is. And again, for me, it's not juggling, it's connecting with people, you know. That's my kernel, and whether it's Win-Win Entertainment or Showbiz Academy or my show, so again, I would say to kind of find your kernel, what really makes you tick, and then create the right avenues and channels to kind of foster that and get that out to the world.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. Check out Jeff Civilico, his website, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those things that he talked about. Find that all through jeffcivilico.com or search on those things. Check out all the stuff that he's up to. If you're in Las Vegas, check out his show. And I think that's it. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.